had a survey time during our worship gathering, and the first one, we asked the question, how have you grown in the last year? How have you grown in the last year? And there were a number of things that were shared, and I shared those a while back, and I'll share more of those in the upcoming weeks. But one of the questions in that survey was, how has this worship gathering, how has this time together on a Sunday morning, and it's just one day out of the week, but how has this time helped you grow spiritually? And I was taken by the responses that many of you shared. And I want to share a number of these up on the screen. And these are just word for word, just things that people in this room wrote down. So first picture. Restoration is welcoming community. It's the welcoming community that makes this church gave me the time and continued opportunity to open up, to trust, and to feel God's presence through the shared worship and communion here. Next slide. The way the music is portrayed, the freedom in motion, especially Nathan right there, and mental and emotional expression, you can release what the week had stored up. I love that. You can release what the week had stored up. There's something about coming into a place where you can just let your hair down, just be free, just be yourself, and just release all that has been built up throughout the week. I love that. Next slide. I enjoy being a part of the worship gatherings because it reminds me of what it says in the Bible and that we are a part of one body. Seeing that in our church brought me healing. Next slide. The Holy Spirit is evident here. I look at everyone around the room and see a deep love for Jesus and a response to him that is precious. Next slide. The way restoration responds to the presence of Jesus is contagious. This has helped me grow spiritually because I get to be in a community of people that see Jesus for who he is. Amen. Holy. Next slide. Holy, loving, powerful, mighty, kind healer, deliverer, pursuer of people, and I get to respond in worship with a genuine heart alongside of others who feel the same way. It's beautiful. Next slide. Worship gatherings have brought me closer to God and increased my thirst for biblical knowledge and understanding. Next slide. I have found my thoughts returning to God, the Bible, worship, and how all of it relates to life. Restoration is the first church that has truly opened my heart. I came out of it out of desperation, dealing with constant anxiety and feeling broken after ending a relationship that was incredibly important to me. Next slide. I felt desperate for an answer for healing. I found restoration and have come back every Sunday since. I have prayed like I never have before. I felt connected to community like I have never had before, and my heart has been open in unimaginable ways. I love the bravery of a weekly open mic to share God's guidance. I'm always moved when people share honestly. Testimonies bring new meaning to scripture and daily practices. Next slide. It's just so great to be in a space on Sundays where there's freedom in worship, testimonies, and prayer. Praying in small groups in the service and for each other really loves well on all of us. And then to hear testimonies of answered prayers the next week really solidifies love in action. My heart becomes more fully surrendered as I offer myself up to God through worship. Next slide. Prayer time and testimony time amazes me every week. People share with clarity what Jesus has done and then circle up to care and show compassion towards one another through prayer. Truly amazing. Through sharing my feelings and emotions with others and by opening myself up spiritually, I have seen growth with others and most of all, Jesus. I could never go back to church to a normal church. I see our gatherings as very organic. Anything can happen. A natural, actual, supernatural flow. The focus is all about Jesus and our relationships with him. Keep that focus. I love that. Because there's powerful moments. We had them last week. We have them every week. And it's just always surprises me as to when they're going to happen, because they aren't always the ones that we plan. They aren't always the ones that we plan. There are specific things that we do that we didn't plan. Like, for example, this morning, singing Worthy of It All. We didn't have those words up on the screen because we weren't planning on it. Just the worship team led into that. And there's other things that we do that we just don't plan on. Last week, Alex sharing, like singing. Like, if you were here last week, there's a beautiful song just in the middle of our sharing time. It was absolutely powerful. And I look back over the history of our time together as a community, and there have been powerful moments that weren't plans. In fact, we just, you know, what happens, we just would respond to the Lord. We'd see the Lord initiating something, doing something, and we'd be like, all right, let's just respond to what the Lord is doing. And I think that is one thing that Restoration has embodied so well as a culture, as a community, is a culture of interruption and response. Believing that this is the one thing that defines us. We're not going to be a community that is like three-song sermon and then we're sent on our way. It's going to be a community that comes together and hungers and thirsts for the Lord and is desperate to see Him move in a powerful way. See, every time I come together, every time we're coming together, this is my prayer. Here, I'm going to put my cards out on the table. I am after an authentic move of the Holy Spirit. I'm after an authentic move of the Holy Spirit. I and we want to encounter God in a very real way, in a way that leaves us saying, truly, God is in this place. This has always been the passionate pursuit of my heart. This will always be the passionate pursuit of my heart. And I believe it will be the passionate pursuit of our hearts together. See, I look at this community, I look at a gathering, I'm like, God, I want to see an authentic move of your Spirit, but I don't want to manufacture it. I don't want to plan it. I don't want to push these buttons and make sound a certain way and do something where all of a sudden it just kind of, you can manufacture what appears to be a move. I am so cautious about that. But on the other side, I also pray, God, I don't want to miss a move of your Spirit. I don't want to manufacture it, and I don't want to miss it. That's why people say, why do you open up the microphone every week? Isn't it nerve-wracking? What are people going to do? What are people going to say? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But as you open up the microphone, as you share as a community, as you respond to what the Lord does, all of a sudden you're like, oh, God is in this place. God is in this place. And as we reflect on our lives, as you even reflect on your lives, it's often, as there's interruptions even in this gathering, as you look at your life, isn't it like in the interruptions of life? Those seemingly interruptions, you're like, those sneaky surprises. Isn't it in those moments that all of a sudden God moves in powerful ways? Like I think of Nathan and Rebecca here, newly engaged. But I won't share their whole story. But they went on a tour a couple summers ago. Gonna worship the Lord and gonna share the gospel all across the United States. And they were put on the same team. And what they thought was a tour where they were gonna worship and share the gospel, which is what they did, all of a sudden they found their life partner. And they get engaged yesterday. That's a sneaky surprise. It's a welcomed interruption in life. And I look around this room and I look at our lives, like we think so often life is going to look like, you know, I'll put it up on the screen, life is going to look like that. Have you met people that were like, life is going to look like this? I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to have 3.5 kids, I'm going to, like, this is my life. Every couple of years, this is what I'm going to do. But in reality, this is what life looks like. That's life. Right. Welcome to life. If you're younger, this is what life is going to look like. That's it. And we all can attest to that because some of us last year, this was our life, and there was the ups and downs. Some of you have been through some stuff. Some stuff in the last year. You had tragedy. There were broken relationships. There was hardship. Life didn't turn out how you were hoping it would turn out. But also on the other side, like, there are some things in our lives that are all of a sudden a welcome surprise. There are relationships in this room that didn't exist in the last year that all of a sudden God brings somebody into your life and, wow, that's a welcome surprise. I'm not where I was a year ago. I'm sober. I'm on the path of recovery. I'm being encouraged in my faith. Wow, God, what a welcome surprise. Life is flooded, actually, with interruptions, ups and downs. I've come to realize that. Here's the big question that I've come to see is the most important. How do you respond to interruptions in life? How do you respond to interruptions? I want to talk about interruptions. I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about us becoming a people that are open to interruptions. Being an interruptible people. Being an interruptible people. I'm going to add another word at the end of the message, but being an interruptible people. But before I get into this, just a couple disclaimers. Planning isn't bad. There are some of you in this room that love to plan. Bill, he's a planner. Spreadsheets for days. The only thing that I would ask to planners, planners are good, they're a gift. Are you open to a change in plans? And there are some who are like, they'd love to be spontaneous. They don't know what they're doing tomorrow. They don't know what they're doing next week. They're like, oh, it's going to be an adventure. Are you open, Dan, to a plan? Are you open to a plan? Now, again, a couple other disclaimers. As I talk about an interruptible life, sin is never a godly interruption. An interruption is never an invitation for you to neglect also a God-given responsibility like your work or family. Also, being an interruptible culture doesn't all of a sudden not an invitation to be like all over the place. Like focus is good. Focus is powerful. We need to be focused in prayer. But I want us to be an interruptible people because I look all throughout Scripture. And there is time after time that God interrupted people's lives. I mean, we just celebrated the Christmas season. The Christmas story is filled with interruptions. Like, let's think about that. Zechariah, older gentleman, you know, filled with, like, life filled with disappointment, goes into to work one day, has the biggest moment of his career. He's going to go into the inner chambers to light the incense. Like, this, as a priest, was a significant moment in his life. And all of a sudden, boom, interruption. An angel appears to him. Says, hey, as an old man, you're going to have a child. And he laughs. And the angel kind of silences him. And eventually, him and his wife give birth to John the Baptist. Boom, interruption in his life. I think about, okay, Joseph. Joseph going about his life. He had his life planned out. He was going to marry Mary. And he was getting ready to welcome her into his family. All of a sudden, an angel appears to him and says, hey, Mary's with child. Huh? What? How'd that happen? Boom, interruption in his life. Even Mary, okay, let's consider Mary. Mary thought, okay, here's my life. I'm going to marry Joseph. I'm going to have, you know, this life. All of a sudden, boom, interruption. The angel comes and says, hey, Mary, you who are highly favored, you're going to have a child. And it's going to be from the Lord. All throughout Scripture, people have their lives interrupted. And it's in those moments that all of a sudden you saw the kingdom of God move in powerful ways. And no one better exemplified this than Jesus. Look at this quote about Jesus' life. If you had slept in the same house or field with Jesus, if you've awakened with him, eaten with him, and helped him, what would you have observed? One thing we always think of is that Jesus gave himself almost entirely to what we would consider interruptions. Most of the teaching, healing, wonders we see in his life were responsive, seemingly unplanned. He trusted that what the Father allowed to cross his path was exactly that from the Father. Jesus always seemed willing for things to get messy. I mean, you look at his life, 50% of the miracles, 50% of his ministry was all about interruptions. You know, I was reading through Matthew 8 and 9. Look at a couple of verses. Matthew 8, I believe, next slide. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. Boom, interruption. Next slide. This was the scene here as he's sitting at Peter's house. Just healed Peter's mother-in-law. Sitting there, avenging yourself in the evening, kicking your feet up, and you're just kind of resting from the rest of the day. And this is what happened. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Many people came to him, interruption after interruption after interruption. Next slide, Matthew 9. Getting into a boat, he crossed over, came to his own city, and behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. This is a picture that we see in Mark chapter 2. Jesus in a house teaching, and it was so crowded, and all of a sudden, boom, through the roof, a paralyzed man is lowered right at the feet of Jesus. Interruption. And Jesus heals him. Next slide. While he was saying these things, speaking, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Go back up to the same slide. It says he was saying these things. He was teaching. Somebody busted it in and said, my daughter just died. Come and heal her. Lay a hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. He was interrupted. And as he was going, there was a crowd that was gathering around him. And this is what happens as a crowd was gathering around him as he was on his way to heal his daughter. Next slide. It says this, behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. She pushed through the crowd. She interrupted what he was doing. This was an interruption, interrupting an interruption. Jesus lived a life open to interruptions. And actually, if you look at the stories of Jesus, if the disciples were in charge, many of the things, like they would say, this is how life should go, many of the things that we love about Jesus would never have happened. Jesus would never have blessed the children. He would never have met the woman at the well. He would never have been on the cross, because people try to prevent that from happening. But what does this teach us about the kingdom of heaven? What does this teach us? The kingdom is interruptible by nature. I love this. John 5:19. Jesus says this. Here's the secret. Here's what I do, and here's how I do it. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only he sees what the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. So what does this communicate to us when we look at Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God? What does this communicate about the heart of the kingdom? That the kingdom is interruptible by nature. Think about it. It's grace interrupting shame. It's mercy interrupting judgment. It's love interrupting hate. It's forgiveness interrupting revenge. It's healing interrupting pain. It's life interrupting death. It's freedom interrupting chains. It's power interrupting weakness. It's the supernatural interrupting the natural. The kingdom of God is interruptible. Why? Because the king is interruptible. Here's what I want to press into. Turn to 2 Kings 20. I want you to think about this. Think about this passage. Think about what I'm going to share. And hear my heart in this. 2 Kings 20. This is just an amazing passage. It's about a king named Hezekiah who, if you go through the kings in Israel, one after another, it says, this king did evil in sight of the Lord. This king did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then you get to Hezekiah and it says that he did right in the sight of the Lord. He was one of the few faithful kings. And this is what happened. It says this in verse 20. I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. I mean, this is the Lord saying, this is what's going to happen in your life, Hezekiah. You're not going to recover from this. You are going to die. So what did Hezekiah do? Kick up his feet and be like, okay, I guess that's it. I'm done. Now look at verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him and said, turn back, say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Here's the thing. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God's purposes prevail. I believe that God is all authority, all power. What he says absolutely goes. I believe 100% in the sovereignty of God. But you look at this passage and hear the word of the Lord says, you're done, Hezekiah. Your time is done. And Hezekiah said, oh no, I don't want to be done. And he cried out to the Lord. He wept bitterly. And the picture that I get here is all of a sudden the King of Kings, God, was interrupted. His plan was interrupted. He's interruptible. He goes, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. That to me, here is a Father in heaven who says, okay, this is what I'm going to do, but oh, I hear the cries of my people. I'm willing to be interrupted. I look at Jesus' life. Look at how he lived. Who did he respond to? He responded to the faithful ones, the crazy ones, the bold ones who were willing to push through the crowd and say, you know what? This is my situation. This is what's going on, but I'm not going to settle for it. I'm going to go through. I'm going to ask that you move in a powerful way in my life. The kingdom of God is interruptible because the king is interruptible. And as people of the king, we should be interruptible as well. Are we living an interruptible life? Are we open to the ways that God wants to move in our midst here and in our day-to-day lives? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, reflecting on the story of the Good Samaritan. He said this, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God, who will thwart our plans and frustrate our ways time and time again, even daily, by sending people across our path with their demands and requests. We can then pass them by, preoccupied with our own important daily tasks, just as the priest, perhaps reading the Bible, passed by the man who had fallen among robbers. When we do that, we pass by the visible sign of the cross raised in our lives to show us that God's way and not our own is what counts. John Tyson said this. This one hits. He's alive today. He's a pastor in New York. He said this, the great tragedy of our time is not that we aren't godly enough to be Jesus' disciples. We are just too busy. Jesus taught on the kingdom of heaven. He says, like a king who invited someone to a big, great feast, invited a bunch of people, but they didn't come. He's like, no, I just bought a new car. I can't come to the feast. Oh, I just got married. I can't come. Oh, this relative just passed away. I can't come. I look at that, and I see the heart of the Father with this great invitation. I want to work through you. Are you willing to be interrupted? But I look at our lives, my life, and this hits hard. We're just too busy with our own thoughts and our own plans and our own ideas of what we need to be doing. Romans 12. This is, I believe, the word for us today. Says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Paul is writing after a number of chapters about the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I look at this, and there's all this pattern always through Scripture. God initiates by the mercies of God. God initiates by the mercies. I'm coming to you. I'm bringing you life, bringing you healing. You who are sinners, I sent my son to die for you to reconcile the relationship. I'm moving towards you. He moves. He initiates. And then there's always this invitation to respond. To respond to his mercies, what is our response to his mercies? To present your body as a living sacrifice. To say, God, here's my whole life. Everything. I've received your love. It's so amazing. Your love is so divine. It demands my life, my soul, my all. God initiates, we respond. And here is the only proper response to a God who moves to us, who's completely available to us. The only proper response is to be completely available to him. Here I am. So as we think about being interruptible, the word that I want to replace is available. Are you completely available to God in your lives? Are you completely available? Are you completely available? There's so much opportunity in this. It's opportunity for growth. As he calls us out and stretches us, puts us in some uncomfortable situations, there's opportunities to grow. But even as we welcome people into our lives, what does Scripture say? It says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because if you do, you just might entertain an angel. Man, there's opportunity. Two quotes as we wrap up, and Nathan and Rebecca, you guys can come up. I love these two. First one from Priscilla Schreier. Believing that life's interruptions, divine interruptions, are a privilege, not only cause us to handle them differently, but to await them eagerly. Divine interruptions. Instead of when there's an interruption in your life, instead of passing it off frustrated, are we waiting for them eagerly?
God, what are you going to do? Here's my life. I'm available to you. What are you going to do today? And then lastly, from Henry Nouwen, he said this, you know, my whole life, I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work. I want to go back to that question. Are you available to the Lord? I just want you to bow your heads and I want the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. And I just want to put this out there for myself and for us. I just put this out there. We aren't too busy. I know that some of our lives are full, but I think the greatest temptation of our day is that we're a distracted group. We're a distracted people. Like C.S. Lewis one time said, that we're playing around with mud pies when endless days at the beach are available to us. I think we're distracted and we're messing around with lesser things when the kingdom of God is at hand, is here. And God is saying, I'm initiating, I'm moving. Are you available to be my hands and my feet? Reflecting on this question as we sing the song, as Rebecca sings this.
Thank you.
And as we wrap up in prayer, really think the out of this song, the invitation is to constantly listen to the still small voice of the Lord. John 10 says, Jesus says that my sheep will know my voice and be led by my voice. And so, Lord, I just pray that over all of us this morning, that we would hear your voice clearly in the midst of all of the distractions, in the midst of all of the noise, that we would hear, as your sheep, we would hear your voice. Thank you that you're the great shepherd. Thank you that you're the good shepherd that leads and guides. Thank you that you are moving, that you are, your kingdom is constantly advancing. And the crazy thing is that you invite us to participate in that. That for our own lives and for the lives of others. So Lord, I just ask that there would be a renewed sense, a renewed passion, a renewed purpose to listen to your voice and just to boldly respond in obedience. How we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you move first. Thank you for your move to us through your Son, Jesus. All glory and power and praise be to him and him.